It's the biggest wildcard week of the season. We chat injury dilemmas, ponder over the premiums, and are we all not captaining Haaland? Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the FPL pod on what is a busy week. We had the first double game week, European football. It was Jules' birthday. And we may just have a wild card active. Jules, firstly, happy birthday. I was going to say, Thank you, did you have a good one? But I think PSG and Newcastle ensured you didn't they?
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for reminding me about that horrendous performance from my team on Wednesday night and having to be on television as well. Talking about it live was painful. But, you know, there's always the next day and the next birthday and, you know, all of that. So thank you for all your birthday wishes, by the way, from the two of you and everybody else. It was just not one that I will, like, you know, cherish for a long time.
Probably shouldn't also mention that Arsenal didn't really get it off to the start the night before either.
I think we should stop now. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, you didn't celebrate by activating your wild card. That's instead what has consumed your week, Sam Bonfield.
Yeah, I am wild carding. I saw Sonny playing in that number nine slot on Saturday with Richarlison out wide, and I was like, right, it's wild card time. So during the Spurs-Liverpool game, I did a draft and then hit the button straight afterwards.
Confession. There's two wild cards active. I've also done the same.
Three wild card active.
Yours is active as well.
Hold on. Yeah. So, the listener needs to be aware here. We've all tried to hide this from each other, not tell each other. And it's actually worked quite well. So there is three wild cards active on this podcast. Okay. Yeah. That changes my script a little bit. Jules, what pushed it for you? What was just too much?
So, I mean, as you know, Carlton Morris came in my team for the double game week and he was brilliant, especially in the first game. He scored. I was really happy, all of that. But then the Estupinan injury, I think, added a lot of worries because there's already Sterling in that team that I don't want there anymore, as you know. I've kept for too long, Raz. And Morris really, no offense to him, but I don't really want it in the team. The Estupinan injury, there was Bukayo Saka also that injury that he picked up against Lost. So there was a lot of, there was too many doubts. It was just too chaotic, that team. So I thought, let's go, you know, it's wild card time, baby.
Okay, so we've got three wild cards active. This has completely thrown up my plans for the rest of the podcast, to be honest, because I've got in here to hammer Jules about Sterling. I've got all of these things and he's already sorted it out.
But clearly, because I beat you again, the both of you this week, I can understand why you thought, okay, that can't continue like this. We need to play our wild cards.
Yeah, I did have a bit of a disaster. It wasn't a disaster of a game week, to be honest. For me, it was very similar to Sam in terms of I wanted Son. I'd also wanted Salah for quite a while. And I always do this thing of going through my team and I get, like, you know, on a phone where you can get the pen and, like, go through, not the real life pen, but you can go through and cross out who you do or don't want. And I realised that I wanted to get rid of 11 of my players. And I was like,
11?
That's
a
lot.
So. Yeah, and I look at my wild cards.
You're really in disguise.
Yeah, I've got unlimited money as well. That's the problem. I don't. No, counting now, one defender has stayed, but probably won't stay. Madison is the only one that stayed in my midfield. And actually, I have kept, as it stands, Haaland and Alvarez, but Alvarez could become Watkins. I think it just became too many players that I wanted. And actually, it's a week where everyone else is clearly panicking as well, because at the time of recording, there's over 238,000 wildcards active. So I think there's a lot of panic amongst FPL managers. We'll come on to just a little bit more as to why we might have done it and what we might be looking at doing with our wildcards in just a moment. But just wanted to highlight the FPL Pod Mini League, as always. Congratulations to Ahmed back at the top, Jack Dilton and Pravin also flying high in the top three. Okay, let's dive into a little bit more about these wildcards and why we might have pressed the button. Sam, injuries. There is a lot of flags. There was flags going into last game week and a few of us survived with the likes of Bukayo Saka playing and scoring, but even this week it just feels like every day there's more news of more players that we have in our FPL teams that are flagged.
Yeah, and when I hit my button on Saturday night, there wasn't so much of that, but as the week's gone on, there's become more and more managers pressing the wildcard button because they've got more and more issues that they've got to deal with. So I think, like Joel said, the Estupinan injury yesterday, the confirmation that Diaby's not going to play for Aston Villa in the Europa Conference League, all of those things are just adding to the kind of woes that FPL managers have right now. And yes, you can probably get around it. And a lot of us tried to last week, you know, get around it by having the bench players come on, but then you don't always want your bench players to come on, as I found out last week when Estupiñán came off my bench with his minus 2 points for the missing Sven Botman. So, yeah, I think I can understand it. And it is one of the things that I've kind of felt relieved about since hitting my wild card, is that now some of the big players that I was having real question marks over, Estupiñán and Saka, the two big question marks in my team when I was wildcarding as to whether I kept them, the Estupiñán news made that much, much easier. Hopefully we'll get some bit more firm news on Saka from Arteta as well.
Yeah, this is what De Zerbi said on Estupiñán. He said, he's injured and he can't play for a long time. He's an important player we are losing. We can play in that position with Lamptey and Igor. So Jules, that's an easy get rid, isn't it, for people that have Estupiñán. If you're on a wild card, and even if you're not on a wild card, you probably want to move him on, don't you?
Yeah, completely. And to be honest, he had a couple of good games and good returns for us and performances, but overall, Brighton have conceded too many goals. And I think, like Sam said, last weekend, they're not going to lose 6-1 every week, but I thought last weekend summed it up really well. And I think Estupiñán was heavily owned, that even you could always wonder maybe why, because at the start of the season, he made a lot of sense because of his value, the price, etc. But as the season went on, really, the start of the season, I don't think he deserved all that ownership in a sense, because there were other players who brought far many more points, returns, better performances than he did, and that Brighton did overall defensively. So now that he's injured, I think he's a very, very easy one indeed.
So on my wild card as it stands, I've gone for Tariq Lamptey because he's 3.9 million and I think he'll probably play there. He is a little bit of a punt though, really, because he's not got the best injury record. And as De Zerbi has said, there's more than one player that can play in that position. Sam, if managers were looking for a Estupiñán replacement, who would you suggest?
I mean, I think if you want to go for a 3.9, then a more long-term pick is Charlie Taylor at Burnley. If you want to free up the money, he's at least starting, so you can go there. He's one that I've got in my current draft. But I think, you know, for a lot of managers, you're probably looking in that 4.5 to 5 million replacement bracket. So players like, well, the Newcastle guys, you can go for Burn, who, sorry, Jules, again, scored in the Champions League yesterday. You've got Shah, who did, you know, similar. So I think we can go with one of them. If you haven't already got a Spurs defender, then it makes absolute sense to look at Udogie or to look at Pedro Porro. There's plenty of options, I think, who make for really nice picks that you can replace Estupiñán with. Because the reality is, even if he wasn't injured at this point, if I'd have kept him on my wildcard team, it would have only been for the fixtures from game week 10 onwards. I'm not going to play him against Liverpool or against Manchester City. So I don't know. I think the trouble you have with somebody like Lamptey is by the time those two fixtures are over, if we're looking at around a month out for Estupiñán, and then you might lose Lamptey when the fixtures turn nice again and then have a problem you've got to deal with.
I don't know if I should say at this point that as it stands, because I was so desperate to have some of the more expensive players. I've actually got Lamptey and Taylor in my current draft. So I've got two 3.9 defenders. But that's because I've got Kieran Trippier in there, so I could bring Kieran Trippier down.
Good. They're still on your bench as well.
Yeah, well, as we saw last week, that isn't always the case. Sure. Let's go on to Bukayo Saka, who Sam also mentioned. So Mikel Arteta has said he tried to backheel a ball. This was, of course, in the Champions League on Tuesday night. He tried to backheel a ball in the first half and he felt something. It's something muscular. He wasn't able to carry on. We don't know more, but it was big enough for us to remove him. It doesn't look good. Now, Jules, as I said before, we survived last weekend as Saka owners because... Yeah. He did start and score against Bournemouth. But as soon as I hear a manager say that it's a muscle injury, I'm a little bit more worried.
No, yeah, you're right to be. I think it could also just have been precaution, to be fair, because they play City on Sunday. And I don't know, let's say the game on Sunday was not as big as that one, or the opposition was not as strong. I don't know, something. Maybe he would have stayed a bit longer on the pitch. Maybe he would have tried to finish him. I don't know, something like that. However, with City in mind, I think they were right not to take any risk at all. And they will assess him on Friday, Saturday to see how he feels. In a way, the good news, if I can say like that, for Arsenal is that after the City game is the international break, which would not be good news for England if Bukayo Saka could not go with England through the international break. But that would be 2 weeks where he could rest, actually, because it's not just what he picked up at Lens in that Champions League game. It's also that, as you said, Kelly, before the Bournemouth game, he was already doubtful. He had a knock on his ankle. I mean, he's had a lot of knocks in the last few weeks. So maybe the accumulation as well of all those little things, little niggles, knocks, etc., also made him doubtful for Sunday. So you don't get rid of Bukayo Saka, though. So you keep him. you hope for the best that he can start against City. And if he doesn't, make sure that your first serve is a decent one.
Are you going to keep him on your wildcard, Jules?
Yes, I will. He's still I think, the highest point return in of all the midfielders. I think he's got 45 points this season. I think he's top of that list. I think he's outstanding. I know you can go for Odegaard and there's so many options in midfield as we will see later on the show. But for me, yeah, he's not undroppable, even if he's doubtful for the game on Sunday.
I'm getting rid of him, Sam, in my wild card. What about you?
Undecided. At the moment, he's not there because he was going to have a price drop anyway. So I thought, take him out, predict the value I've got in him, and then worry about it towards the back end of the week. He will be the last decision that I make. I've got enough money to upgrade one of my midfielders to him, and I'll make sure it stays that way. But at the moment, he's not there.
But if you weren't wildcarding, would you keep him?
Yeah, because I think if you're not wildcarding, you've got probably bigger issues to deal with than Saka right now, because hopefully it's not going to be a long-term thing anyway. And, you know, we've seen how important he is for Arsenal so far this season. So if you're not wildcarding, then I would just keep him and hope for the best.
Okay, another injury that we have, that Sam and Jules, this is a player that you had in your team pre-wildcard. Diaby, Unai Emery confirmed that Boubacar Kamara and Moussa Diaby are a doubt for Thursday night's Europa Conference League game. Of course, we record this on a Thursday morning, so we don't expect him to be involved later. But do we think he will be available for Wolves on Sunday? That's the big question, Jules. What would you do if you owned him? You did. I don't know what your plans are to do with him.
Yeah, it's a back injury. It's good that he has a rest on Thursday night. I think he would have had a rest anyway, even regardless if he hadn't been injured, considering who they play against in the Europa Conference League. I think Unai Emery would very much play a B team, so he would have been rested. I think he would be okay. I don't think he's that serious of an injury, like as in like a Stupinian type of injury. But it's also risky, so I can understand if managers are not too sure, and just in case you want to not take any risk and not take any gamble. So you could, if you have a free transfer, for example, or even two free transfers, and you want to get rid of Diaby, like we've been saying all season long, there are so many good options in midfield. Even if Diaby has been really excellent, he's in the top 10 midfielders this season, top 8, I think he's eighth on the list. So he's been really good for us. But I could understand why you don't want to take the risk and have a flagged player in your squad, in your team.
Keep or sell for you on your wild card?
I keep him. And he's Paris born. You know, he's my boy. Oh, like, gosh. You know, of course.
Okay, come on then, Sam, an unbiased opinion, please.
Yeah, I'm keeping.
Oh my God.
I'm keeping him too. I just think he's been so good.
I've also bought him in, by the way. So.
Oh, you see, and yeah. He's not Watford born and bred or St. Albans born and bred.
I don't think anyone in my team is Watford born and bred, Jules, in the Premier League.
I think he just has looked really good. And I mean, look, I benched him last week, much to my own annoyance on Saturday lunchtime. And I think, yeah, you could absolutely change and have Ollie Watkins as your Aston Villa asset of choice. But longer term, I want Diaby. So I'd only be moving back there eventually. So I might as well just keep him on wildcard. Unless Unai Emery comes out and specifically rules him out of the, you know, the game ahead of the international break, then I might consider doing something different. But I think with one game to go and then you'd expect him back after international break, I'm just going to keep him.
Okay, yeah, and I'm going to bring him in as well. He's still very appealing, and given what Aston Villa did last weekend as well, it does feel like, Sam, now there's a bit more of a need to have some Aston Villa cover in our teams, doesn't it? And actually, I was considering wildcarding as early as 2:45 on Saturday because of that big win against Brighton. It just made me realise I didn't have one Aston Villa player.
Yeah, I mean, I had Diaby, I definitely wanted more, and Matt Cash, every time I watch him, I'm like, oh, I really need to have you.
He's not playing as a fullback, is he? As we've said, he's just not.
No, absolutely. And it played into my thinking as well. I think, you know, when you're looking at the price changes and, you know, who's going to go up in price, I was very aware that Matt Cash, that Son, that Salah, they were all likely to take price rises. And if I'd waited till the international break to play my wild card, I probably wouldn't have been able to afford it to have all of them. So going a week earlier than originally I would have wanted just made a lot of sense on Saturday.
Okay, well, Sam, you've mentioned quite a lot of the premium players there, the likes of Son, the likes of Salah. And I'm sure another reason behind the large number of wildcards is because we do all need to redistribute our funds. For ages, I've been showing off about having 3.6 million in the bank.
But you haven't now.
No, I really haven't. And like now, all of a sudden, we want those premiums. We want the higher scoring and the higher price players, which is really annoying. And I wish I'd really enjoyed earlier in the season when we didn't need to have all of those players. Are we noticing a real shift change, would you say, Sam, in the way managers are having to balance and structure their teams?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we've gone from, as you say, going, well, maybe we don't need to have Son because he's playing really far out wide. Maybe we don't need to have Salah because he's only returning 5 points every week. Maybe we don't need to spend the budget on the premium defenders because Newcastle had terrible fixtures to start the season and Trent's not been in great form. And probably we don't need a premium goalkeeper because, hey, here's Areola and he's been doing brilliantly. But now you're looking at these players and going, well, Son's hauling every week. Salah looks like he's going to return big numbers every week. Trippier is back doing Trippier things again. So suddenly we're having to kind of consider where that money's going. And in order to have all of those guys, you have to make compromises elsewhere. And it's really hard to make moves on the premiums unless you either play your wild card or take points hits.
Jules, you were Mr. Premium in pre-season. Remember when we were laughing at how many premiums? And to be fair, you definitely cannot laugh at me for having 3.9 million defenders in my team. Do you remember some of the players you had in your team at points?
I mean, I don't think they even play football anymore. So,
I'm wondering how are you doing the same with your team? Is it a case of you've obviously already had Salah, you've had him throughout, and then you need to get these premiums in now. How many have you got?
It would be only Son, really, with Salah. And I'm a bit struggling because there are too many good options again. So I'm a bit undecided yet on who comes with Salah, and especially in the, you know, I mean, Haaland, of course, is there too. But on the expensive ones, I like Trippier a lot. And I think Sam makes really good points about the fixture list for Newcastle. And I think the Champions League, the success in the Champions League, both in Milan and against PSG, will also boost that confidence so much that I think we will see the consequences in the league where they will be even better, I think, than what we've seen in the last five games before the PSG game. So it's good to get a Trippier if you can. And I think Son has been outstanding, really. And if he keeps playing like that in that position, him and Madison, I think it's hard to not have them in your team or not try to not have them in your team. So I find it really the most difficult wild card, really. And I haven't been looking at it as long as you two have, but I find it really difficult, this one, because there are so many, so many good options. Usually, I think it doesn't pick itself on its own, really. But I think in the past, some names have been so obvious and you could make it work. I find this one really difficult, I won't lie.
Sam, do we have to have Mo Salah and Son Heung-min?
I mean, I think so, yeah. I think you have to have them both. I just think if you wildcard and you don't have them and they both continue to play as they have been, you'll regret not having them, and then you will find it hard to bring them in because you'll have got budget going elsewhere and it's going to be points hits and you're going to be thinking, I wish I had another wildcard. So my view on this is you have them both, and then if you don't want them both, 2, 3, 4 game weeks down the line, it's really easy to just sell one and go to wherever it is that you want to go. But I always think that if you think that there's a chance that you might want that premium because they're in great form, because the fixtures are nice, and that's the case for both Salah and Son at the moment, Spurs and Liverpool, great fixtures, both in good form. So invest in both of them. And then as time goes through, you've always got the opportunity to come down. It's much easier to come down than it is to go up.
That was my theory for having Salah in game week one, and then I panicked earlier.
Yeah, what happened? What happened again?
I panicked and I sold him, Jules, and I regretted it. And that is a large part of the reason. By the way, if anyone was interested, you know, last week when I was toying with doing a -4 for Salah, I did bring in Carlton Morris, but I didn't do the -4 for Salah. Mm. And so when I actually saw him go off against Spurs, I felt a huge sigh of relief because it meant I hadn't spent -4. And of course, that was the first week that he hadn't returned. But I also knew I couldn't keep watching games with him in, with the fear of him returning.
It was horrendous watching games without owning
him. Yeah. It's just scary, just because, you know, even if he's not in a game, at any point he can score any type of goal or provide an assist. So I've gone for Salah and Son as well. Sam, do we need Son and Madison? Because obviously we're existing Madison owners as well. Should we be holding Madison?
Yep. Yeah, I think the Spurs double up in midfield is absolutely on. I mean, there is a conversation to be had, and I don't think the conversation comes now. I think if you're wildcarding over international break, depending upon what we see against Luton, there might be some managers that go, if Richarlison plays as well as he did against Liverpool, against Luton, and plays in the same position, can I spend less and have him instead? But right now, like every week we sit here and go, Madison's the heart of everything Spurs do. He's so important. Jules will be loving his assist of the assist again, I'm absolutely sure.
You should get some points for that. I mean, where's my petition? That petition that I mentioned.
It's not going well, is it?
Second assist is very important, Premier League people. You know, a couple of points. I'm not asking for too much. Just a couple of points there. That was harder than the actual assist.
It was actually an excellent assist of the assist as well, wasn't it? So yeah, I think for me, when I was putting my wildcard team together, I basically took out, well, nearly all of them, a bit like you, Kelly. I didn't quite go with 11. I think I took out 9. But Maddison has never left. And I can't see him leaving anytime soon unless for any reason he's ruled out. But he's just so important. And he keeps rising in price. If you don't have him, you price yourself out.
He rose again on Wednesday night, didn't he? So it's kind of, for me, I think I am going to keep both of them. But I was like, I need to make that decision right at the last minute because I have to be 100% sure I want to get rid of him.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise I won't be able to afford to get him back in. But all of these players are rising in price because they're playing well. Jules, you mentioned Trippier before. In terms of, obviously, he's a defender now that we're all looking at, given particularly, I think, since the Sheffield United performance, he's been definitely on our radar a lot more, that huge haul. Sven Botman is out as well. Is he still the best option, that Newcastle defence, or can we cover him by having the likes of Dan Burn or someone like that? Of course, Dan Burn scoring, a goal in the Champions League on Wednesday.
I think that's
well.
Three times now that you've mentioned that.
So it's only right I tell the listener that he scored, in case I didn't know.
Happy birthday.
He's prolific these days, scoring all the time.
He only scores against the rubbish teams, though.
Savage.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Sean Longstaff at some point for your wild card, because, you know, also you could say, hey, he scored against Amaron. Your team, by the way.
Is Amaron in a purple patch? Maybe we should mention that as well.
I wouldn't go down this route because there was four different players that scored against you.
I think you can. You might not have the money to do Trippier, especially if you do Son and Salah already. So we've, you know, this is fair. I think Burn, Cher, really good options. Botman, whenever he comes back, really good options again. The thing with Trippier, though, and if you look at his points returned recently, it's almost as much in terms of attacking returns than defensive ones, which is something that the others don't really provide, unless they're walking on water in the Champions League night against PSG and somehow find the back of the net by shooting while slipping, falling off, their bum on the floor, and they still hit the top corner, which won't happen
Calm
every
down.
Week.
Or playing against Sheffield United, because Dan Burn scored against them as well.
That's very true. No, more seriously, you have other options that are much cheaper, of course, than Trippier, but you won't have the same attacking return, even if now and again, Cher will score, Burn will score, you know, Botman or whoever, Lascelles can score too. But with Trippier, you've got the extra thing. He's on all set pieces. He's very good at them. So it makes a lot of sense if you can afford him to have him as your Newcastle defender.
He's just so much more money than the other two though, Sam. That's the problem for me. At the moment, I've got him in, but as I said, I've got two 3.9 defenders and I'm wondering if that's too much of a compromise.
He's just one I just can't get to. Like, I think if you want to have a midfield five that have got Salah, Son, Maddison, probably want to keep Saka in there, want Diaby in there, want Haaland there, and then you're either having a conversation about Watkins or Alvarez, somewhere there has to be a compromise, because you can't then go, well, I'll have Trippier as well, unless you're prepared to have like multiple 3.9s, or, you know, have real compromise slots that every week you've got to play that player that's a compromise. So for me, I look at Newcastle's fixtures coming up, particularly over the next couple of weeks, and think, I think they'll win their games. Obviously, Trippier is outstanding when it comes to attacking returns, but the last 2 weeks have been the perfect mix of fixtures for them to keep clean sheets and him get attacking returns based on the teams that they've been playing. So because we've got, you know, great set piece threat from Trippier, that does make Dan Burn, Sven Botman, people like that, really nice options, because they're likely to put their heads on one of these set pieces that Trippier is supplying. And yes, all right, Botman's out at the moment, but he won't be long term. So I've moved from Botman to Burn for now, and then probably at some point I might switch back to Botman when Botman's fit again. But I just can't make Trippier work without too many other sacrifices elsewhere.
So let me get this right. In terms of premiums in your team, you've got Salah, Son and Haaland.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're counting Trippier as a premium because his price for a defender is kind of premium in that bracket, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm intrigued to find out the rest of both your teams later in the show. I'm wondering how, Sam, you and I often have quite similar decisions and we actually haven't shared wildcards with each other. So, well, clearly, because none of us really even knew we were wildcarding. I knew you were because you posted about it.
Well, because Lee told everybody that I was.
Yeah, I knew that he'd, and I think I saw that you popped it on it. Anyway, I knew that you had, but I kept it very quiet that I had, and Jules did exactly the same as well. Just taking a look at some of the popular transfers this week, it seems to be either the pricier players that we've been talking about coming in or cheaper players coming in, which does also suggest it's, of course, wildcard time for a lot of people. The most popular transfer combination is Son coming in for Rashford, Watkins coming in for Alvarez. Cool. Just wanted to highlight that one. That's an interesting one, isn't it, Sam?
I can't bring myself to sell Alvarez.
No, me too.
I look at it every day and I'm like, right, I've still got these two City players in a mixed run of fixtures for Man City on the back of two difficult results for them against Wolves and in the League Cup. Obviously, Champions League, a bit different. But I just think Alvarez is their informed player right now. And I did have a moment where I thought, can I just sell Haaland? Because he's the one that's performing less well. And then I quickly recovered myself and realised that that was a ridiculous idea, because the only way to make that work, as we learned when we sold Salah, Kel, is to spread the money around. But if you then spread the money around, there's no route back to bringing him back when he inevitably goes off again and at 92% owned or whatever he is now. I just don't think it's feasible. So the pair of them stay. I just can't. How can you sell someone who's been in that great form?
Jules, you were on TV again last night saying he was City's best player, I noticed.
Yeah, and I think that's true. He's been the best player this season. Even when he doesn't start, like against Leipzig in the Champions League on Wednesday, he comes on and changes the game. It's as simple as that. A goal and an assist. The reason he was benched in the Champions League, by the way, I don't think he's because Pep had second thought about his place in that team as a starter. It's just because he played so much that he needed a bit of a rest. And yet, when Pep saw that Leipzig was holding on for a 1-1 draw, he thought, I need him on the pitch now. So he brought him in, and as we said, he was decisive and gave them the win. So I think he would be straight back into the team for the Arsenal game from the beginning, because I think he's that important for them now. He's filled in a way the Gundogan gap or hole that Gundogan left when he left to Barcelona. It's a different profile, but he brings a lot to that team in that second striker, sometimes in midfield, because he defends and runs so much too. So off the ball is very important to them, as almost as much as on the ball. So yeah, I see the dilemma between Watkins and Alvarez. And if you can have all three, but that means you would not have Salah or Son with them. Mm. But I think a front three of Watkins, Alvarez, Haaland is the dream here. The thing is, it's just, I don't think feasible.
No, it's not feasible with money. And I had that at one point in one of my drafts. And then I realized I was going to have to bench a midfielder each week. And this, all of my midfield options are so nice. It's so hard to play three up front this season and sacrifice a midfielder. Is that what you feel, Sam?
It's why Diaby's been on my bench for the last 2 weeks, because he's the cheapest option. So I was looking at a front three that had, well, obviously this week, it had Morris, who had the double, couldn't bench him. Alvarez and Haaland, couldn't bench them against Wolves. And then the midfield, it was like, okay, well, I'm not going to bench Madison. I can't bench Saka, because if they're fit and they play, I'm going to want them. I had Foden at that point, can't really bench him. Couldn't feel that I could bench Bruno Fernandes either. So it was like, well, who's getting on the bench then? Well, I guess it's going to be Diaby again. And just hated the idea of it. So for me on wildcard, I just was like, I can't do this every week. So somebody, there's got to be a cheap bench player every week in that front eight, and then the other seven are good to go. So the question mark then is, do you do it as a forward slot or do you do it in midfield? Now, if Diaby is out long term, I'll probably go for a cheap option in midfield and have a third forward. But if Diaby's fit and available, then I'll keep Diaby and go for a budget third forward.
Okay, so lots of dilemmas. So Jules, I'm presuming you're keeping with Haaland, Alvarez, and then a cheaper third forward.
I'm undecided with, I love Watkins. Watkins has the most points as a forward, more than Haaland. And of course, this half of them are.
You're
going to
drop Haaland?
No, but and half of them, those points are last weekend. I understand it. However, the fixtures for Villa are by far the best in the whole league coming up. And I think it would be a shame not to bring Watkins in if you're wildcarding now. I really do. So I'm still undecided between him and Alvarez, I won't lie.
Oh, I didn't expect that. City's best player, yeah, according to Julian Laurent. He's been saying it on British TV, on this podcast, and he might not have
him. I know, but you have to make, like...
I understand, I do understand.
Do you see what I mean? If Watkins scores again at the weekend, I'd be like, oh, man. So, yeah.
I've gone between the two, and I'm kind of hoping that Diaby's points can maybe kind of cover that Aston Villa gap.
Fair enough.
But also, we do see with Watkins, though, he does like going on these scoring sprees, doesn't he? Like when he scores, when he finds that clinical touch, he does then go on a little bit of a run. And conversely, when he can't score often, then there's a bit of a kind of a dry spell as well. But yeah, another part of the reason people wildcard and we're seeing all these transfer combinations is because there are a lot of players we want to get rid of. Who, Jules, shall I start with you? Because I feel like we know who you're going to point out as the main person you needed to sell.
Yeah.
Particularly after you went big on him last week.
Mm. Did I? I don't remember that at all.
Oh, I'm going to keep him. I'll give him an extra game.
But he's given him an extra game for the past.
And then you benched him, Jules.
I benched him because the other options would...
This is Raheem Sterling, by the way. I feel like we should say.
Raheem Sterling. Raz, listen, brother. I love you. You know that. But it's time to say goodbye. For now, you might come back later in the season, but now it's just not. He was on the bench, obviously, in the derby against Fulham. He came on.
Got booked,
exactly. And again, I think was in a couple of good positions that could have come to something and then nothing happened. So, you know, and I think because Mudryk scored, because Cole Palmer played really well in that game, I'm not even sure if Sterling is a starter in this Chelsea team anymore. So I think it's time for him to go. But it was a good ride. You know, we had highs and lows, ups and downs together in our relationship. But now I
mainly
think
downs.
It's the right time, yeah.
Mostly downs.
Yeah. I've gone completely off my notes today, as you can probably tell, ever since I discovered those three wildcards active. But I've just got back to the point in my notes about players that we might need to sell. And I've written here in capital letters, Jules must be removing Sterling with a question mark. So, yes, you are removing Sterling. Yes. Actually, a quick word on Chelsea in general, Sam, because obviously we've had the news that Ben Chilwell is going to be out injured now for a period of time. Reece James has got a one-match suspension as well. But then conversely, Chelsea actually won. What should we be doing with Chelsea? Do you think we just keep away for now?
I think if you're wildcarding, yeah, you just stay away from them because obviously they've got a nice game this weekend. But then after that, fixtures are just dreadful for Chelsea. They're so difficult. So if you're wildcarding, definitely get rid. If you've got Disasi, if you've got a Colwell, if you've got, I don't know, a Nico Jackson randomly still, now that he's back, then maybe, and you're not wildcarding, then maybe you can leave it for this week and you can deal with it over the international break. But if you're wildcarding, don't have any Chelsea players, would be my advice.
Yeah, Colwell actually went up in price overnight, so people are clearly quite interested in him. Manchester United, I feel like this is a conversation we've had every single week on the podcast as well. And every single week, the reason I wasn't transferring out Rashford for Salah was because I was like, Man United's fixtures are so nice. Man United's fixtures are turning. Surely he'll get returns in this. We all saw what happened against Crystal Palace. Are we done with them for now, Sam, as well? I'm presuming, given the money that we need elsewhere on wildcard, we're not looking at Manchester United, are we?
No, absolutely not. That was another key reason for pressing my button at the weekend, is that they were just Onana and Bruno blanking again when they're taking up that much budget. And I think, you know, even when I think back to game week six, that Bruno Fernandes goal, it was a worldie of a goal, but they kept him in my team because obviously it was a points return in FPL. Had he not done that last week, I probably would have sold him last week instead of holding him for another week. But they're so expensive. The form isn't there. There are other players who are in the same price bracket who have better form and have better fixtures. And so at that point, you kind of go, well, it's the obvious move to sell them.
Hmm. Yeah, makes a lot of sense, Jules. Presume you're the same.
Yeah, I agree. And also, and my differential this week will be Rasmus Højlund. I think he takes away a lot of what makes
this Marcus is not
Rashford.
The differential section. Is this actually your differential?
Yeah, but it's because to make a point on Rashford. Listen, okay, you cut me off because, and that's important for all the Rashford owners as well.
Yes,
I think Højlund takes a lot away from what Rashford was so good at last season in terms of being just the main guy. He's going to score. We need him to score. And everything goes to him, through him. He takes like 1,000 shots every game. Højlund has taken a lot of that. And I think Højlund's form, especially, you know, in Europe this midweek, but I think that he would carry on into the league is also why Rashford maybe hasn't been so good this season compared to last season, because of the Højlund factor.
There's also a really good article on this that the Scout wrote this week on the app and on the website about the Højlund-Rashford debate and what that means for Rashford. So I agree with Jules, go and read that. It's really good.
Just when we needed another striker to really confuse our striker conundrum, isn't it? No, but he was a real bright spark, wasn't he, for Manchester United on Tuesday? And that's
the only one.
It's kind of what we've been waiting for, isn't it, for Jules, in terms of we knew when they signed him that he was someone that was going to come on our radar.
Yeah, we just waited for him to be fit to start because he was not fit when he signed and at the start of the season. And then we saw some really positive signs, some really encouraging things. The goal against Brighton was not allowed, was disallowed, and rightly so, but he was in those good positions. And then against Galatasaray on Tuesday, he was outstanding in a team that is struggling, really, let's be honest. So, yeah, I think great, great potential. We've already said that for such a young player. And I really think that the two goals he had against Galatasaray would really kickstart his season. And I think, you know, as a differential, because he's still only owned by 5.1% of the managers. He costs 7.1 million. So he's not cheap, of course. But I think in terms of differential, it could be really good for your team.
Sam, Brentford and Bumo, another reason I wildcarded. I know you lost patience finally with Vissa last week. But what do managers not on a wildcard do?
I think you still sell. The fixtures aren't great for Brentford. I mean, they've obviously got the trip to Old Trafford this week. Then it's Burnley, Chelsea, West Ham, Liverpool, Arsenal back to back. That's difficult. Then there's a nice game against Luton, but then it's Brighton, Sheffield United, Villa. So they're kind of up and down. And when you look at how they've been playing lately, they're just not hitting the highs that they were in the early part of the season. And when you look at Mbeumo in particular, his penalty area touches are down in the last three game weeks. His goal involvement is down. He was involved in 50% of their goals up until game week, well, between 1 and 4. Since then, none. Expected goals are massively down. His expected assists are massively down. Shots on target are massively down. Like, all of the underlying stats that you look at and think, I'd like to invest in a midfielder. All the things that you would kind of want to have there are all missing for him right now. And when we're talking about, if we just sat here and talked about DRB and all of these other players that you'd really want, that if you're on wildcard, it's a no-brainer to sell him. Even if you're not, I think there are so many other better options in the game right now that you can take him out. You can go down if you want to. You can look across at players that are slightly more expensive, that you know, like DRB, that you might want to go to. There's so many good options. James Ward-Prowse is in there as well. I know he didn't return last week, but his route to points is so outstanding. I just can't see any reason why you would hold him by my right now.
Okay, we're running out of time and I'm going to get in a lot of trouble, but we do have to have a nod to the fixture of the weekend, Jules. Arsenal versus Manchester City. It's something we always said. I feel like a broken record in FPL when two of the teams that were heavily invested in the game go head to head. It's really hard for us to know how to play it, isn't it, in terms of which players to play. How do we approach this one?
Yeah, your eye's tricky. Saliba against Haaland, if you own both, of course. It could be Akanji against Saka, if you own both. I mean, you might own all four of them, and then you're in a pickle, really. So, I don't know. This game is not going to finish 0-0. I think we can all agree on that. There might not be that many goals there, but it won't be 0-0. The Rodri absence for City is huge, of course. And they're definitely not the same team without him, especially defensively, but even the way they move the ball and the way they attack. So, I don't know. I'd be tempted to say, let's keep everybody and have a big, you know, Arsenal City party. But it's not as simple as that, obviously. So, I don't know. Go with your gut feelings, how you feel. I think this is more a game for the attacking players than the defensive players, of course. So, maybe bench Saliba, maybe bench an Akanji. It's a hard one really to predict and to approach, I think.
Yeah, Arsenal yet to keep a clean sheet at home this season. They've conceded 6 goals, but they've kept 3 clean sheets on the road. Sam, are you just going to play the attackers? That's what I'm going to do. It feels like the easier option almost.
I've sold Saliba on my wild card.
So have I, but as it stands, I've brought in Gabriel because I'm scared of not having an Arsenal defender. However, that will probably change. Have you replaced him with? or who have you replaced him with? Sorry.
At the moment, I don't have an Arsenal player in my wildcard team, which feels all kinds of weird.
So that's why I've gone Saliba to Gabriel, because without Saka, I didn't have an Arsenal player either, and it just felt weird. And I also couldn't bring myself to tell Jules that either.
it's your loss, not anybody else. You know.
I want Odegaard. I really want Odegaard.
Yeah, I can see that. I would agree with you.
But there's just not enough midfield slots. Jules, you're starting your position for second assist. I'm going to start position for just picking positions so that we can play 10 midfielders each week.
That's a great idea as well.
Yeah. Sorry, Sam, I interrupted you. But it also made me feel better that you'd sold Saliba as well.
Yeah, it's not something that I necessarily think that I want to do, but I didn't have any, there was nothing to lose by selling him at that point. And that's when I first play my wildcard, that's what I look at. Anybody that I'm not going to lose any money on by selling, I'll sell in order to ride as many price rises as I can and build the team value over the course of the week. So I'm not saying that I won't have an Arsenal player by the time the deadline passes. But if I'm going to go for a defender, then I probably will look at Gabriel because he's cheaper and he's going to enable more things elsewhere. But then defensively, Arsenal just haven't been quite there yet. I think in the end, what will probably happen is I will go without an Arsenal defender and end up bringing Saka back in. I think that's probably what will happen. Oof. And I'll just have the one Arsenal.
It's a lot more money to find though, isn't it?
I've got the money for him, like, because that was, I know what I'm like. The reality is I'll get the absolute fear with Saka at some point and go, well, if he's fit, I'm going to want him, which is why I didn't sell him last week, because I was all aboard the let's sell him then. But
isn't it different this weekend though, given the fixture last weekend? Because I just felt last weekend if he started against Bournemouth, he would return. Whereas I feel like, I know a wild card is not just for one game week, but I feel like potentially you could get away with it a bit more against Manchester City.
Possibly, but you didn't get away with it against Spurs a couple of weeks ago. So
are we going to open a debate now as to whether Spurs are as good as City because they've had a good start to the season?
No, I wasn't. I'm joking.
That was a joke.
Clearly not. We're better, but that's beside the point. I think that we should...
To be fair, you're undefeated. I'll give you that.
Exactly. Could be top of the league this weekend if Arsenal do us a favour.
I'm joking. Oh, no. I think... All the Spurs fans are going to hate me now. That was just a joke to get Sam, honestly.
But I do think that, you know, with Saka, he's one of those players that you can't just go, well, it's a big fixture, he won't return, because he's a big fixture player. You can return against anybody. And I'm not comfortable having a team that doesn't have him in if he's going to start. So if he's starting against Man City, then I'll have him in for that game. If he doesn't start against Man City, then I probably would go without him on wildcard, but I'll leave the money to upgrade that midfielder slot so that I can have him, because I can't long term. It's going to be another one of those, like, oh, I'm going to have to hide behind the sofa every 5 minutes.
I love this podcast so much, but I also hate it because I was really set on my Saka decision and now you two are turning my head. Okay, differentials, we're running out of time, so we're going to have to do this as quickly as possible. Jules, you've actually done me a favour because you've already said Your official differential is Hoyland, correct?
Rasmus is the guy, yes, this week.
Okay, and just to confirm, we had a very good week of differential picks again. Jules picked Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He got a goal and 6 points.
Thank you. Sam predicted
Kurt Zouma and 7 points for a clean sheet and a bonus points. We've got Hoyland, and who are you going for, Sam?
A bit rogue this week, as usual. Going for Tarkowski. I think Everton, well, look, they're all over the place right now, aren't they? But he is a massive threat from set pieces and corners, and that should be their major weapon when they come to play against Bournemouth this weekend. He got his first goal of the season from a set piece against Brentford in game week 6. And he also got an assist to get 14 points. So he does have that potential in there. And when you look at Bournemouth, who they're facing this week, they're in the bottom three when it comes to conceding the most headed shots, particularly from set pieces. And of course, who's the one that does those? It's James. So I'm going to go with him. He's going to cost you 4.4 million. And he's only owned by...
Did you call him James?
3.2%.
Did you actually like say
James? I'm glad you flagged that, because I was about to flag that.
Best mate okay. now.
Are you okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
it'll be Jimbo next week. He'll be calling him Jimbo.
When he returns, you know, 14 points again, then he'll be my highest returning differential so far. Let's see.
In your wildcard team, Sam? Of course he's not.
He is at the minute.
Oh, okay. Take it all back. Okay, actually, I tell you what, before we come on to captaincy, let's reveal the wildcard teams as they stand, shall we? This is going to be fun. Jules, I feel like yours is very much in its infancy.
Yeah, I'm like literally the foundation building. So
when did you press the button, by the way?
like literally last night when I came back so angry from TNT after that.
So it's an PhD anger thrashing. Wild card. It's a fury wild card.
No, because I came back to prepare for the show this morning and I looked at the team and I was like, are you for real? Like, I can't have this team anymore. So I was like, this is it. I was going to do it during the international break. As you know, this is my moment every season to play the first wild card. And I thought, nah, I can't wait. So I will do it now. So yeah, but I'm very much at the start of building it now.
Okay, so tell me who you know is going to be in there.
So William Saliba, his family, of course, as you know, so is Moussa Diaby. So them two are staying. Maddison is staying. Salah is staying. It's really the Sterling is Tupinan, the defenders as well, like Akanji, I'm not sure. Bayer, I want to upgrade. And then that third forward, whether I go for a cheaper option, like we were saying before, even like Carlton Morris, who, by the way, is the fourth best forward in the game at the moment, which is remarkable for him. Well done to him. Or if I go for a better third forwards. And then in that case, my fifth midfielder is not as good as the other four. So I will have to decide that. But yeah, defensively, there's a lot of like kind of work to do.
One thing I have noticed with the fifth midfielder, having sat here the whole podcast and said, oh, we don't want to bench any midfielders, there's a couple of nicer, cheaper options kind of coming in the 5.6 kind of price bracket. With Anthony Gordon, I know he's suspended this week, but he's someone I'm looking at, and Pedro Neto as well. So that could be a way of potentially upgrading that third forward. Come on then, Sam. I imagine you're on draft 457,000 for the week. How's it looking?
We're wrapping a lot of drafts. I mean, I'm still at that point where I am collecting price rises, but as it stands at the moment, rotating goalkeepers with Areola and Leno, a back five of Damba and Matt Cash, swapping my Spurs defender at this point from Van der Ven, begrudgingly, to Udogi, Tarko, and then Taylor.
Tarko, he's gone from James to Tarko.
Whatever name he likes. He'll be amazing this week, you wait. Madison's son, Salah, Bowen, Diaby, and then up top, Haaland, Alvarez, and Archer. But Bowen's slot has the money in the bank to be Saka.
Okay. I mean, it probably won't surprise you that much to know that I'm not that far off yours.
Of course you're not.
You two copy each other anyway. We know that.
She didn't know.
No, I didn't know. I don't know. And I'm like you as well, where I've got Bowen in there, for example, because of the price rise. I've also got Pedro Neto in there because I knew he was rising overnight. And I don't think I'll keep him, but
he could also enable me to get to Watkins.
Yeah, the fixtures are good. Mm. And if Wolves create, it tends to be him creating the goal for Hwang or scoring the goal. So I don't want to get carried away just because they beat Manchester City last week, but he's been their bright spark even before them. But anyway, my team as it stands, different goalkeepers, mainly because of money, Turner and Areola. Then my defence, I've got Gabriel in at the moment just because of that Arsenal no defender fear, but he probably won't stay. Cash, Lamptey and Taylor, my 3.9 dream team. Burn. He keeps going between being Burn and Trippier, basically, at the moment. Salah, Madison, Son, Bowen, Neto, Archer, Alvarez, Haaland. So there's a couple of differences. But
it's good. You two are good. You two are very good.
I've got 2.2 in the bank there as well. So I've still got a bit of
the Saka money.
Yeah, I've got a bit of movement and I just need to work out, because I toyed with going from Bowen to James Ward-Prowse as well, but I really want Bowen. I really want him.
He's not secretly.
He's quietly gone about his business, hasn't he?
He's been really good. He's the third best midfielder in the game. Like, I saw that last night and I was like, wow, okay, Jared, whatever you say. Like, you're serious here. Well done.
But also the other thing for me is, so as it stands in that draft at the moment, I don't have Diaby or Watkins.
Have you not got a Spurs defender either?
No, which is why I don't think Gabriel will end up staying. Because I think I would probably prefer to go. I was thinking Van de Ven just because he's the cheapest, but you've obviously changed from him, Sam.
Well, I have, because his attacking threat is so much less than the others. And I actually really want Pedro Porro, but I just can't quite find the point two more. Yeah.
Yeah, too expensive.
It's really hard.
Anyway, this is now just becoming a chat about our wildcard, which is essentially what this podcast is. But very boring if you're not wildcarding or if you don't care about any of our teams. So, Captain C, I'm not going Haaland this week.
Me neither.
There's a reason I've wildcarded. I'm going to have Son and Madison. I'm going to captain Son. Jules, over to you.
Yeah, one of the two as well. Aware, Luton, we take nothing for granted, and I don't think Spurs will either, but that looks a much better fixture on paper, certainly, than a City trip to Arsenal for Haaland or Alvarez. So, yeah, I think it has to be either Son or Madison, I agree.
Sam, do I even need to ask you?
I think I'm going Madison.
Okay.
But
what's given him the edge?
Everything about him right now. I think the form, the way that he plays, I just think he's so important. Like, I absolutely can go with Son. There was a slight niggly doubt about him, but I mean, his celebrations after the game, he was jumping around like a lunatic, so I think he's fine. But there is a little bit of me. You know, Kel, I hate captaining anybody in the 12:30 kickoff. I hate it. So I have looked at Salah away against a Brighton team that aren't in great form and that will be without Estupiñán. And I do think he could be a nice captaincy option too on Sunday.
Oh, so come on, let's be honest. On the week where Spurs are away at Luton, there's not a chance you're captaining anyone else.
It's the 12:30 game. It's my rule. I don't captain people in the 12:30 game. I just don't know what to do about it. Don't know. I'm so undecided. One of them three. I might toss a coin.
Gosh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in your house over the next 48 hours or so, sorting a wild card and that captaincy. Well, that is where we will leave it. Sorry if you weren't wild carding this week, but hopefully you still found it useful. I did have loads of other stuff in the script, but we all tried to catch each other out with not telling each other about the wild cards. So yeah, a surprise wild card podcast, I think we can call this week. A reminder, as always, the FPL Pod Mini League code, which I can now read in my sleep, I think, IB3WLK, the fantasy show with myself and Praz, is back on Friday morning UK time. That'll be live then. It'll be shortly after on the FPL website. The deadline is 11 a.m. on Saturday. I'm already dreading that 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. period with all those final transfers. And also, the Football Content Awards voting ends on Sunday. Thank you so much to everyone who's voted for us already. A reminder, head over to their Instagram. You can comment on the post that says about our nomination. You just have to put my Insta handle, Kelly E. Summers, or in the bio, there is a link to go on and vote manually by doing that. A shameless plug there, sorry. But we would love your votes. Thank you very much. Jules, you've got Saturday off this week?
That's right. And then Sunday, the big one, of course, at the Emirates. So, yeah.
Enjoy. Enjoy sorting that wild card as well. Sam, enjoy. Well, I just think the next 48 hours are going to be really horrible for you.
Yeah, they will. I'll be really stressed. And then I've got Sky on Saturday morning, so I won't even be, I'll be on air at deadline. So that's going to be a disaster.
Yeah,
hate finalising wildcards too early.
Me too. I'm also presenting Final Score on Saturday. So when I should be looking at every other game in the Football League as well, I'll just be sorting out my own fantasy team priorities and all that. Anyway, I'm off for a lie down and to sort out my team and work out if I can really get away with Kaya Sackle. See you next week, guys.